The Bible said here in Acts chapter number 4, they commanded them in verse 15 to go aside out of the council they conferred among themselves, saying, "What shall we do to these men? For that indeed a notable miracle hath been done by them is manifest to all them that dwell in Jerusalem, and we cannot deny it. But that it spread no further among the people, let us straitly threaten them, that they speak henceforth to no man in this name." And they called them and commanded them not to speak at all, nor teach in the name of Jesus. But Peter and John answered and said unto them, "Whether it be right in the sight of God to hearken unto you more than unto God, judge ye. For we cannot," I love this, he said, "we cannot but speak the things which we have seen and heard." So when they had further threatened them, they let them go, finding nothing how they might punish them because of the people. For all men glorified God for that which was done. For the man was above 40 years old on whom this miracle of healing was showed. And being let go, they went to their own company and reported all that the chief priests and elders had said unto them. And when they heard that, they lifted up their voice to God with one accord and said, "Lord, thou art God, which hast made heaven and earth and the sea and all that in them is, who by the mouth of thy servant David has said, why did the heathen rage and the people imagine vain things? The kings of the earth stood up and the rulers were gathered together against the Lord and against his Christ. For of a truth, against his holy child, thy holy child Jesus, whom thou hast anointed, both Herod and Pontius Pilate with the Gentiles, the people of Israel were gathered together for to do whatsoever thy hand and thy counsel determined before to be done." Now, wait a minute. Let me say something right there. God's people, how many understand this thing's in a mess? I'm talking about our world, our country. But now listen, we ought to draw a great deal of peace and strength from those words that I just read. God had already said it was going to turn into a mess. He's already said that the love of many would wax cold. He's already said that as it was in the days of Noah, so shall it be in the coming of the Son of Man. They're eating and drinking and marrying and giving in marriage. They're acting like nothing's ever going to happen. No judgment's ever going to come. As it was in the days of Lot, so shall it be. So what are you saying, preacher? The Bible said right here, "For to do whatsoever thy hand and thy counsel determined before to be done." Remember Wednesday night? The world's in a mess, but God's still on the throne. God is still on the throne. The Bible said, "And now, Lord, behold their threatenings, and grant unto thy servants that with all boldness they may speak thy word." You know something? I couldn't preach what I preached this morning if it wasn't in the Word. But if God says something's sin, it's sin. It doesn't matter how we feel about it. If He says it's an abomination, it's an abomination. The Word of God said here, "By stretching forth thy hand to heal, and signs and wonders may be done by the name of thy holy child Jesus." And when they had prayed, look at this, the place was shaken where they were assembled together, and they were all filled with the Holy Ghost, and they spake the word of God with boldness. And the multitude of them believed, that believed were of one heart and one soul. Neither said any of them that all of the things which he possessed was his own, but they had all things common. With great power gave the apostles witness of the resurrection of the Lord Jesus, and great grace was upon them all. Neither was there any of them that lacked, for as many as were possessors of lands and houses sold them and brought the prices of the things that were sold, laid them down at the apostles' feet, and distribution was made unto every man according as he had need. and Joseph, who by the apostles was surnamed Barnabas, which is being interpreted the son of consolation, a Levite, and of the country of Cyprus. Having land, he sold it. He brought the money and laid it at the apostles' feet. But a certain man named Ananias, with Sapphira's wife, sold a possession and kept back part of the price, his wife also being privy to it, and brought a certain part and laid it at the apostles' feet. But Peter said, Ananias, why has Satan filled thine heart to lie to the Holy Ghost and to keep back part of the price of the land? Whilst it remained, was it not thine own? After it was sold, was it not in thine own power? And he said, why hast thou conceived this thing in thine heart? Thou hast not lied unto men, but unto God. Let's pray. Father, thank you tonight for the word of God. Thank you, Father, tonight for this early church that we can look into the Bible and examine. Lord, I remember years ago a man saying we ought to read the book of Psalms because it'll keep our hearts sweet. We ought to read the book of Proverbs because it will give us wisdom how to live and how to walk in this present life. And then he said, Lord, we ought to read the book of Acts because it would keep us reminded of why the New Testament church is here and what the New Testament church should be. Father, I pray tonight, Lord, that you would help us. Lord, when we leave here tonight, just to be breathing a prayer, help us, Lord, to spread it a little farther. Help us, Lord, to take it down to the school. Help us to take it down to the job. When I say it, Lord, I mean the gospel, the good news, the wonderful story of Jesus. Help us, Lord, to take you with us, and help us, Lord, to share you with others. Father, we love you tonight. We pray, God, you'd help us in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. We said here that it spread no further this morning. That's what they wanted to do, was shut them up and just keep it close. Amen. But the Word of God is teaching us that there were some here that were grieved by this wonderful message. Howbeit, the Word of God said some of them, exactly it said, many of them believed in that day. And then we see that there's some, if you look at verse number 9, that are in need. The Bible talked about that impotent man, by what means he is made whole. Let me ask you something tonight. How many of you know someone that is in need of the Lord Jesus Christ? Someone that is in need of being born again. Someone that is in need of having their sins forgiven and in need of knowing that their name is in the Lamb's Book of Life. The Bible talks about people that are in need. I heard a song years ago, and I can't remember all the words or the lines, but the title of the song, I believe, was this: People Need the Lord. People need the Lord. When will they realize that we must give our lives because people need the Lord? The Lord is not calling on you and I to die for Him. He is calling on you and I to live for Him. But I'll tell you something, don't turn around, the day may come. Amen. There have been many martyrs throughout the world that have given their life rather than denounce the Word of God and denounce the salvation that God gives through His grace in faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. There are many that are in need. Some in the Bible here are perceived. We saw that Peter and John were perceived. It was perceived that they were ignorant and unlearned men, and they marveled. I want to ask you something tonight. What are we more concerned about? Man's perception of us or God's perception of us? I'll tell you tonight, we ought to be more concerned about what God knows than what man thinks. Amen. I'll tell you tonight, man can think. What was it you said this morning, Brother Joe? A man called him a fanatic. And Brother Joe said, I'd rather have a fan in the attic than no breeze at all. Amen. I like that. Say amen. I'd rather have a fan in the attic than no breeze at all. Amen. I tell you, we ought to ask the Holy Ghost to blow across our soul. And amen. Let that heavenly breeze flow where we walk day in and day out for the glory of God Almighty. I tell you tonight, I believe with all my heart, God wants us to just spread it a little farther. We've got a map back there, Brother Randy, and we're beginning to color now.
And I tell you, that thing's going to look like a spider web before it's over with. And it's going to cover this area. Amen. And I thank God we can do that for the glory of God. I can't do it alone. You can't do it alone. And the early church couldn't do it alone. But if we can get with Jesus and get together, amen, we can do what God wants us to do. Amen. I read it last week. Run with patience. Run with patience the race that's set before us. We've just begun the race. Can I just say this? Most of the people, when it comes to spreading it a little further, they give up real quick. You can get a lot of people in the starting blocks. But I tell you what we need to be looking at is the finish line. Amen. Get the job done for the Lord Jesus Christ. I believe that'd be a blessing. Amen. Let me give you this tonight. Here's what I want to give you that I believe that God wants me to camp right here for just a few minutes tonight. In verse number 27, we saw over here early in the chapter, some are grieved, some believed, some are still in need, and some are perceived. It doesn't matter to me, amen. I want to be liked of men. Amen, don't you? I want to be loved of men. But if I have to choose, I'd rather be loved of God. Amen. I'd rather do what's right in the eyes of a holy God. In verse 27, he said, of a truth, against thy holy child, whom thou hast anointed, both Herod and Pontius Pilate with the Gentiles and the people of Israel were gathered together. Now, if you look at against, and they were gathered together against him. You say, preacher, what are you trying to say tonight? In order, how many believes this is a great move of God that we're reading about here? 5,000 men. That's beside the women and children. Already on the day of Pentecost, 3,000 have been saved by the grace of God. And I'm telling you, it's spreading like wildfire. Amen. And I tell you, I thank God, listen, that it was spreading. But let me tell you something right now. As soon as it starts to spread, the devil's going to raise his old head up. He's going to want to squirt some water on that fire. Say amen. Let's kill that thing. Amen. Let's kill that. Let's get that died down a little bit. Let me give you this tonight. Someone had to bleed. You say, preacher, what are you trying to say? You got to read that verse. Against Jesus, the holy child of God, the Lord Jesus Christ, the Gentiles were gathered against him. The Pharisees were gathered against him. The Sadducees were gathered against him. And even the people of Israel were all, they couldn't get together on much, but they got together against Jesus and they crucified him. You say, preacher, that's a wicked bunch. Can I tell you something? If you and I had been living in that day, we'd have been right in the middle of that bunch. They had blinders on. You remember that? The Bible said, my friend, they were blind. But God had to take the blinders off that they might see the truth of the Word of God. Amen. Someone had to bleed. You say, preacher, I don't understand. Well, let me give you this tonight. Jesus has already bled and died. Amen. How many knows in Christianity it gets rough sometimes? How many knows in your family if you stand for what's right, sometimes it gets rough? How many knows it'd be easier to compromise? Amen. Am I right or am I wrong? It would be easier just to compromise. I tell you, you won't stay around the church long, and there are going to have to be decisions made. Are we going to go this way, the book? Amen. Or are we going to go man's way? I tell you, I thank God. In my heart, it's already settled. If I've got a way that's contrary to God's way, go with God's way. Amen. It's already settled in my heart. Let me give you something tonight. Turn over to Hebrews chapter number 12. Hebrews chapter number 12. Now watch this. The Lord, He parked me on two words right here this week. And then I thought I was actually going to preach out of this text this week. But then, as I come up and studied in the book of Acts and looked at this verse of Scripture, God showed me something and took me right back over there. Acts chapter number 12, verse 1. Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses. Can I say something to us tonight, church? Listen, I'm not trying to be mean. I'm just trying to tell you the truth. Listen to me carefully. I thank God for what He's doing around our church, don't you? But listen to me carefully. The Bible said there's a cloud of witnesses. I believe that's talking about this hall of faith that's already went on. But can I tell you, we got a cloud up yonder, and we got a cloud around here too. I didn't say crowd, I said a cloud. A cloud of witnesses. I believe in this community, there's people that know, amen. And I believe they're listening, and I believe they're watching. Are you listening to me? I believe it's important that we spread it a little further, because there's a lot of people just watching to see what we're going to do. Amen. Now watch. Watch. And I'll say this. Let me just go ahead and say this. This will be anywhere. Not just here. It'd be anywhere. Let me say this. There's some that want us to make it and want us to do good. Say amen. You believe that's all? No, I don't either. Say amen. Anywhere you go, amen, there's going to be some that wants a church to flourish and wants a church to bloom and wants a church to make a difference, but there's going to be some that just wish the church would go away. Well, guess what? It's built on a rock. Guess who's building it? The Lord Jesus Christ. And guess what? It ain't going away till He takes it away. And when He takes it away, they can have it. Amen. The building will be all that's left. That's my prayer. I pray that nobody around here would be left. Amen. That God would help us all to get ready. Now watch. He said, wherefore, seeing we're compassed about with a so great a cloud of witnesses. How many's interested in spreading it a little farther? Now wait a minute, wait a minute. How many's interested? Help me. Watch this. Listen to me carefully. If we're going to get in the spreading business, then there might be some things we'd have to lay aside. The Bible said, let us lay aside the sin, every sin, and the weight. Did I get that in the right order? I can't never. It's the weight and the sin. Every weight and the sin that does so easily beset us. I'm telling you, you say, preacher, what? And let us run with patience the races. You're saying, preacher, what are you trying to say? I'm trying to say, listen, there have been days in my life, many days in my life, I didn't spread the gospel like I was supposed to because I was carrying too much. Would somebody help me right there? Brother Brian, my mind goes back to the overcharged, brother. Just too much going on, amen? And I'm telling you, if we really get serious about this spreading it a little further, we might just have to lay a few things down and lay them aside, amen? In order, you say, well, preacher, one Saturday a month? Are you kidding me? Get out there and go one Saturday a month? I tell you what, I would to God, amen, that we could see, hey, it's a blessing to get to do that one Saturday a month. And if something comes up, wouldn't it be a blessing? So somebody come up and they absolutely couldn't go. Say, well, preacher, I couldn't go on that Saturday, but I'll go on another Saturday. Amen. And let's just cover the ground. The Bible talks about here, seeing we're compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses. Let us lay aside every weight and the sin that does so easily beset us. Let us run with patience the race that is set before us. Now watch this, looking unto Jesus. Listen, we need to look unto Jesus. Because if we look unto man, we're going to get discouraged. If we look at results, we're going to get discouraged. But if we look unto Jesus, we'll just be faithful and keep going. The Bible said the author, He started it. The finisher, He'll finish it of our faith. Who for the joy that was set before Him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. That means it goes right back to Wednesday night. He's still there. He's set down there. He's making intercession. How many believes He's already interceding on behalf of Saturday morning? I like what Brother Brian said a while ago. He said, you know, we're looking at a lot of things and praying about a lot of things, but they'll be here before you know it. And I'm going to tell you something right now. Brother Eddie, it ain't too early to be bathing next Sunday's children's church in prayer. It's not too early to be bathing our Sunday school classes in prayer and the services Wednesday night in prayer. And next Sunday night when Brother Southeast Bosco and his wife Valencia are with us, it's not too early, amen, to start. That's not too early to bathe the revival in prayer over at Oak Glen and the revival in prayer that's coming up here. It's not too early to seek the face of God concerning these things, concerning the Bible school. I don't know, sometimes, I mean, I know what it takes to pull a Bible school like this off. It takes a lot of help. It takes a lot of grace. I mean, listen, it'll be the grace of God if we ain't wanting to kill one another before the week's over. Amen? I'm just kidding. Amen? Well, we're going to have help. And there's going to be a lot involved. And it's not too early to pray about it. If we're going to reach out, if we're going to spread it a little further, if we're going to reach the children and the teenagers and the adults with the gospel, we've got to look unto Jesus. Now watch this. Look at verse 3. This is going back to Acts chapter 4. For consider him that endured such contradiction of sinners against himself. What would help us to keep going on when we don't feel like going on? Consider him. The Bible said, lest you be wearied. Where's the first place that we faint? It's not our feet. It's our mind. The first thing we'll do is faint in our mind and we'll just say, this can't be done. There's no way this can be done. And we'll faint in our mind. Now the Bible said to consider him. I mean, he's glad Jesus didn't faint in his mind. I mean, he's glad he didn't faint. He went all the way and did what God wanted him to do. Now watch this. Look at verse 4. The Bible said, ye have, what are those next two words? Not yet. I'm telling you, God spoke to my heart right there. When I've been reading about what's going on around the world as far as Christians being persecuted, God spoke to my heart right there, not yet. You've not yet resisted unto blood, striving against sin. But that don't mean we'll never. Not yet. It hasn't happened yet. Not as far as America goes. But I'm telling you, in the world, it's already going on. There have been some great moves of God in China. There have been some great moves of God in the Philippines. Brother Jeff was telling us in the prayer room this morning, the men, that a pastor requested prayer last night because now there's been a great move of God. What happens? Every time there's a great move of God, the devil wants to imitate that. And so now they're being infiltrated with other Bibles. See, everything that's under the name of Christianity is not Christian. That's what I told you about the 1% this morning. If 1% say they're Christians, we'd be doing well if half of those really know Christ as their Savior. And so the Bible said, not yet. But I'm telling you something right now. How many knows that right here in the book of Acts, chapter number 4, Peter and John, they had not yet resisted unto blood. Am I right or am I wrong? But how many knows it's coming? Stephen is going to preach one message, and Stephen is going to be stoned to death at the end of one message. I'd like to preach with that kind of power, wouldn't you, Brother Danny? One message. One message. I'm going to tell you something right now. I believe a church, the Lord wants us to understand we need to spread it a little further. Yes, we do. But I'm going to tell you what, there's going to come a day when those two little words are going to come into play. Not yet. Not yet. Not yet. Resisted unto blood, striving against sin. I'm going to tell you something tonight. I believe with all my heart, we're no better than Peter and James. We're no better than Stephen. We're no better than the Apostle Paul. They stoned him, left him outside the city for dead. I believe that's when he went up into the third heaven, caught up there, whether in the body or out of the body, said, I cannot tell. I saw things that were not lawful to be uttered. I believe that's why the Apostle Paul could say, I'm in a strait betwixt the two. I have a desire to depart and be with Christ, which is far better. But it's needful for me to stay down here a little while. Not yet. Not yet. You need to remember that. Not yet. Because if something doesn't happen in our country, that day will come when it'll cost us dearly to keep singing the way we sing, keep preaching the way we preach, keep telling others the way we tell them. Amen. You say, preacher, why would God preach you this way? I believe this is why. God wants us to prepare. God wants us to get it settled in our hearts. Say amen. That when it comes time to run, we're going to keep running with patience the race that's set before us. That we're not going to run from the work. We're not going to run from the enemy. We're going to run to the work and do what God wants us to do in spite, amen, of the enemy, in spite of the devil. Someone had to bleed. Amen. I told my wife today on the way home, you know something? I'm just going to say it in a general way. I wouldn't offend anybody, especially somebody that's given their life. We've got men coming back and women. Their faces is all scarred. They don't have ears on the side of their head. Walking around on prosthesis. And some of them, as far as their body, they look like they're perfectly healthy. And they'll never live another normal day in their life. Are you listening to me? And you say, preacher, all that blood shed. Well, sometimes we're just not sure what it's for. But can I tell you something tonight? We're God's people. And we ought to know why we're in this battle. And we ought to know there is a reason to fight the good fight of faith. And we ought to know, amen, that God wants us to go on and do what God wants us to do. Regardless of the cause. We're not fighting a battle that we don't know what it's for. We're fighting a battle for the souls of men. We're fighting a battle for eternity. Not for time, but for eternity. And I believe tonight our children are worth fighting for. Our grandchildren are worth fighting for. I believe our community is worth fighting for. And I would love to be able to say, with Judgment Day honesty, Brother Ron, when it comes time to go like Brother Jack went, like others have went, I would love to be able to say, even if it's in a broken voice, I fought a good fight. I kept the faith. I finished my course. What a blessing it would be to be able to say that, Brother John, and just know that I've done what God wanted me to do. Let me ask you this. What else matters? In the end, what else matters? Nothing. Nothing, amen. Nothing. And I believe tonight, God wants us to just get it down in our heart. We've not yet resisted unto blood. Listen. I don't look forward to that day. I wouldn't look forward to the day when I'd either have to denounce Christ or go to prison or quit preaching against sin or go to prison. Now, you can say whatever you want to. Don't believe everything you've heard about prison. It's not the Holiday Inn. They may have a Holiday Inn for politicians, but where I went and preached, amen, I've never been to the Holiday Inn in prison. I can tell you that right now. But I want you to know this. I don't look for it. I don't long for it. But I want you to know I believe we ought to prepare for it and get it settled in our heart and get it settled in our mind. Amen. That we're just going to spread it a little further. And if the cost comes, then the cost will just have to come. I believe with all my heart there's a lot being done to silence the church, to silence God's men. To silence believers. And you know, they'll tell you, you know, if you're not careful, if we're not careful, we'll believe their lie. Amen. We'll believe their lie if we're not careful. Let's not believe their lie. Let's believe God's truth.
Let's continue to spread it a little further. I don't know about you, but I believe we're in a little testing stage right now as a church. Amen. I really do. What do you mean, preacher? I believe God's watching. I believe others are watching. Will we be true? Will we be faithful? Will we just go right on and do what's right? And that test, that heat may be turned up one day after a while. Amen. And if it is, I believe God's people will go right on. Right on, right on, right on. And do what God called them to do. Amen. I believe it's a worthy cause, don't you? It's a worthy cause. Bible school, a lot of work, worthy cause. Revival don't just happen. There's a lot goes into it. It's a worthy cause. Sunday after Sunday after Sunday, it's a worthy cause. Prayer meetings, a worthy cause. Amen. When so many are giving up on prayer meeting, giving up on Sunday night, giving up on the old hymn book, giving up on the whole Bible, the old Bible. Say amen. I just want to stay with the old book, stay with the old Bible. Say amen. Stay in the old way. And watch God, amen, do what God wants to do. We don't need to give up on Him. I just want to stop and thank God He isn't giving up on me. Amen. I praise the Lord for that tonight. Let's spread it a little further. Let's pray. Father, thank You tonight for Your people that have gathered tonight in the house of the Lord. I pray tonight, Father, that, Lord, You take this message today. And Lord, burn it down in our hearts. Help us to realize, Lord, that maybe we've told 20 people about Jesus and saw no results. But when we tell the 21st, it might turn a life upside down. I pray, God, tonight we'd not be discouraged. I pray, Lord, that we'd be encouraged. I pray, Lord, that we wouldn't be defeated, Lord, by the world and by the world's philosophy. But Lord, that we'd stay faithful in the days ahead. Lord, I'm looking forward to Saturday. Lord, as Brother Brian mentioned this morning, we skipped there in February. Lord, I remember how cold it was in January. I remember, Lord, thinking nobody will come. And I remember, Lord, that beautiful morning. God, even as we gathered, Lord, You let the weather fare up a little bit while we were eating breakfast. And Lord, 40 people came out to go out and tell others, to pray and fellowship together. God, what a blessing that was. I pray, Lord, that, Lord, our prayer and visitation would not just maintain. I pray it would grow. I pray, God, You'd help us, Lord, in the days ahead, Lord, just to reach out. And, Lord, I know the community is not going to care how much we know until they know how much we care. I'm glad, Lord, today. I'm glad, Lord, that we can help one another. That we can bear one another's burdens. Lord, there's people out here tonight that's hurting. There's people out here like the lame man. They're in need. God, I pray tonight that You'd continue to help us to be a help to them in the days ahead. Lord, I thank You for people that are like-minded, that know, Lord, the blessing of reaching out and helping others. And I pray, God, tonight You'd help us tonight.